third Sunday of Advent. The third candle is pink and symbolizes joy. It is called the Shepherd's Candle, and it is pink because rose is the liturgical color for joy. The third Sunday of Advent is joyous, rejoicing Sunday. It is meant to remind us of the joy that the world experienced at the birth of Jesus, as well as the joy that the faithful have reached at the midpoint of Advent.
Scene 5, the Holy Family.
And just as God had planned, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. It was a holy time, and it was a fragile time. Mary and Joseph were alone. No extended family waited in the next room, expectantly anticipating a birth. Not even Mary's mother was available to assist her daughter through the birthing process. She longed for her mother's presence as those first birth pains began and grew more intense. Joseph anxiously and tenderly came beside his wife to comfort her. He was husband, nurse, and encourager. But God was there, whispering words of hope, holding their hands, and guiding them through the birth of his son. Together they heard his first whimpers. They tenderly held him, and they placed their firstborn in a manger, a feeding trough, the first king-sized bed. It was a holy night.
Scene 6, shepherds in the field.
The same night that Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, a group of shepherds were out in the field tending the sheep. Suddenly, a bright light illuminated the darkness. An angel stood before them and said,
"Do not fear. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be a sign to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It shall be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger."
Shepherds were the first to receive word of the birth of Jesus Christ as Savior. They were not used to being first. They were more accustomed to hearing their names called last, if at all. They were unfit for most everything that involved worship at the temple. They could raise the sheep for the sacrifices in the temple. They just could not enter this temple. They were too dirty, too smelly. They did not fit the letter of the law, but everyone socially distanced from them. They lived in isolation. But on this night, the last became first, the first to receive the invitation to come and see.
All of heavens rejoiced that night. The shepherds were in awe as angels announced his birth to them. The heavenly chorus erupted in praise to God and sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men."
Compelled, the shepherds left their field and made their way to Bethlehem. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Once they had seen and experienced this, they could not keep their mouths shut. They told everyone, and people were amazed at what these shepherds were telling them. An encounter with Jesus changed their lives.
Any other night, except for that angel. Ain't seen nothing like that before or since. Us shepherds, we don't get a whole lot of excitement out there on the pasture. That angel, it was so bright, so beautiful. I know what you're thinking. Thinking, Sam, you've been out there on that pasture just a little too long. And you'd be correct. But that all changed when that angel came right up to us. And the angel was like, "Don't be afraid." And I was like, "Too late." And then the angel said, "Oh, no, wait, hang on. I wrote it down. I need to get this right. The angel said, bread, milk. Oh, sorry. Grocery list. I never did pick that up. Anyway, the angel said, I have good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then that angel said, he is lying in a manger, wrapped in cloth. Go find him. Okie dokie. So we're all sitting around, and one of the other shepherds is like, hey, what are we doing? Let's get out of here. Let's go to Bethlehem. So we did. We hightailed it out of there, and we found that beautiful baby. I was a different man after that night. God had chose me, and nobody's ever chose me for anything. And I'll never forget what that angel said. He said, I bring good news to all people. That means you too.
Good news to all people. And that means us too. Thank you, Shepherd. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Christmas time when we celebrate the most important news ever. A baby was born who is Christ the Lord. Be with us, Lord, as we think about that night, the shepherds, the angels, the newborn baby. Lord, we ask that you bless this time together. Open our hearts that what is said here today will be received. Thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shepherds? Shepherds? You guys kind of hit it, I think, but what would the job description of a shepherd look like? What do they do? Well, obviously, it's pretty easy. They take care of the sheep, right? They just kind of follow them around, tell them what to do. We would think that that's probably the easiest job that we can think of. Right? You know, you open a gate, you tell a sheep to go into their pen, and they just go right on in there and you close the gate. Not a big deal, no problem. Maybe. Yeah, maybe that happens. I suppose it does sometimes. But let's talk some more about the sheep this morning. Listen up. You may think the sheep aren't the brightest critters, but you've been fleeced. Oh, sorry. No, right now. But seriously, again, studies show that sheep can remember individual faces, people and sheep, for 10 years or up to 10 years. Sheep can recognize facial expressions like smiles and frowns. And sheep, listen to this one, sheep form lifelong supportive friendships. Who'd have thunk it? When I was reading it, I thought, I wonder who did that test. And how, well, anyway, okay. Did you know that many shepherds name their sheep based on the sheep's individual characteristics, such as fluffy, woolly, baba, or maybe ornery or outcast, or why don't you ever go where I want you to go, or shyness, or playful, or calm, or maybe moody? Sheep also are often named based on their color, like snowflake, or cotton ball, or muddy, or blacky, or whatever you can name it. But here are some sheep facts. I'm going to ask some questions, and actually, it's okay to talk in church, so you can answer me if you want to. What is the sheep's favorite newspaper? The wool Wall Street Journal, of course. Why was the sheep arrested on the freeway? Come on, guys, you can do these. Why was the sheep arrested on the freeway? Because she did a U-turn, of course. All right. Okay, one more. Stick with me here just a little bit. You guys are, you're great. I mean, the GUG people, they put up with me on this every two. All right. What instrument does a pair of sheep play? Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably better than the one that I read, but tuba! Of course, sure. Yeah. Yeah. But now, seriously, again, I have a question. How many of you have raised sheep or been around sheep? You can raise your hand. Oh, yeah, okay, quite a few. Good, good. But now I would like you to do something else for me, if you would. I would like you to close your eyes. No, it's not nap time, so don't do that. But close your eyes. Just close them up right now. Got it? I see a couple open yet. All right, close. Now, in your mind right now, with your eyes closed, I would like you to imagine a sheep and a shepherd. That sheep. That shepherd. Okay, got it? Got it, got it, got it. Good. Okay, now open your eyes. And what did you see? Here again, it's okay to answer if you want to, but Bentley, what did you see?
A guy with a flock of sheep.
A guy with a flock of sheep. Sure, yeah. So what did the guy look like? Mm-hmm. And where were the sheep at?
A pen.
Were they in a pen? Okay. Anybody else? What did you see when you thought of your shepherd and sheep? I'm curious. Did anybody picture a young man sitting in a beautiful grassy hillside, a pasture with his flock, with his dog, of course, and maybe leading up a pretty nice, comfortable rock and maybe dozing off a little, and the sheep were all together, a nice little flock, and they were just kind of laying around over here? Or did you maybe picture, like the parable in Luke 15, when leaving the 99 and going after the one that took off and got in trouble? Remember that? Remember what the story, or remember what the great news of that parable was? Luke 15:7. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who think they don't have to. Ouch. But maybe some of your memory snapshots of a shepherd and a sheep that we might recall that actually, in real life, being a shepherd, it was lonely, wearisome, boring, tedious, and sometimes dangerous because they were protecting their flock. But it gave the shepherds a lot of contact with their sheep. But the sad part is, they had very little exposure to people. So no wonder that David in the Old Testament, the shepherd who became king of Israel, was an accomplished musician. Many shepherds learned to play the flute or some other instrument because they had hours and hours and hours of nothing to do but practice their instruments and watch their flock or sheep eat grass. Boring. Okay. Shepherds didn't have much social contact. Very little. Thought came to my mind. I wonder if they talked to their sheep. Probably. But now let's think about this. If you were God, that is absolutely impossible to consider and think about. So let's do it this way. Can you imagine that if you had a life-changing announcement to make and we wanted to proclaim the most amazing, incredible, joyous news ever, 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 an event that would literally change the course of history forever, the birth of your only son, Jesus Christ. The birth of the one who will be the Savior of the whole world. The one for whom the nation of Israel has been waiting for thousands and thousands of years. Finally, he's here. He's come. Yoo-hoo-hoo! But now, who do you pick? Who do you pick to tell it to first so that they can tell everyone else to make this big announcement? Who would you pick? Who would we pick? Who do you invite to come and look, to see? In my list, I think the shepherds would probably be way down the line, way down. Shepherd might be the last person you expect God to take notice of. Why? Well, like we've heard already somewhat this morning, shepherds were religious outcasts. According to Jewish religious law, shepherds were unclean. Their line of work prevented them from taking part in the feasts and holy days that made up the Jewish religious calendar. Why? That's not fair. Why didn't they get to go? You got it. You guessed it. Somebody had to stay and watch the sheep. Okay, another question. Has anybody here ever had a dairy farm with Holsteins or milk cows? Yeah, they may have. It was absolutely impossible to ask the milk cows for a day off and then we'll milk you twice tomorrow. Didn't get it, did it? Uh-uh. That didn't work. Every morning, every night, the cows had to be milked. But pretty much in the same way, we can understand this having to watch the flock. So, when everybody was making a trip to Jerusalem to make sacrifices at the temple or to participate in one of the annual festivals, guess where they were? Out in the fields, watching over their sheep. An example, not a really great example, but kind of an example for today, might be a shift worker, probably, or maybe somebody that's working in a hospital or health care, whose job kind of made it really very difficult for them to go to church. They're expected to be there. It wasn't the shepherd's fault that they were looked down on from a religious point of view. And whatever might have been in their hearts, they weren't able to really fully participate in the religious life of their community. And like we've already heard, shepherds were kind of social outcasts, really. They were constantly on the move to find new pasture, new grass. They were looked down with real suspicion. They were accused of being thieves often. If something came up missing, oh, the shepherds did it. Must have been them shepherds. They were not permitted to give testimony in a legal proceedings because their word wasn't considered trustworthy. How about that? Shepherding was definitely not a 40-hour-a-week job. It wasn't. They didn't come home at night. They were the sheep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, rain or storm. During the day, they led the sheep to the grass and to the water, and they watched the sheep graze, kept an eye out for predators like wolves. And at night, the shepherds usually slept in the pen with the sheep to keep them safe, and probably to make sure they stayed in there. A good shepherd could identify each one of his sheep by sight. I thought about, okay, here's a shepherd, and he's got his sheep in the pen, and here's 30 sheep in here, and I know each one of them by name. Huh. He knows his sheep, and they know him. Being a shepherd was lonely, wearisome, very boring, tedious, dangerous, gave them a lot of contact with sheep, but very little exposure to people. No wonder that David here again, the musician, because he had a lot of time to practice. They learned to play the flute or some other instrument because they had hours and hours with nothing to do but watch sheep and to practice and practice. No social contact. I kind of thought about it this way, maybe. If shepherding was the first thing on a resume for a son-in-law, probably not the first choice, huh? Really sad, actually. Okay, let's do this again. Close your eyes. All right, now I'm kind of rambling, but I know, but just bear with me. Close your eyes. Don't go to sleep. This time, picture an angel. Wow, angel. Okay, open your eyes. Let's talk about what we saw. Jim had a good one. I can see it. You guys notice that I never once have this morning said he or she, probably, or if I did, I missed it. Who says ladies couldn't be a shepherd? I don't know. Well,
they were. There's a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Moses married a shepherd.
Oh, okay, Daddy, thank you. Good. What does your imaginary angel look like? Bentley, what... What it look like? What's your angel look like? White, fluffy, floating around in the clouds. What it look like?
A white cloak and beautiful wings and blonde hair, floating.
Good, huh? Good job. Very. Good job. Anybody else? Like Bentley just said, did your angel float around playing harps while darting around God's head like gnats? Or did your angel float around on a fluffy cow just be bopping around? What did your angel look like? In Daniel 10:20, an angel was a warrior. We know that. We've read it and heard it. So did your angel look like a warrior? I'll bet not. No. But... Hey, did you, Mike? Good job. Sure, exactly. And that's what they were getting at here. I know it was. Brings up another question. Why do you think that God sent the angels to the shepherd first? Maybe the fact that Jesus himself is later called the Good Shepherd. 23rd Psalm, y'all. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's shepherd, taking care of us, huh? But how about this reason? God wanted to show that his love does not show favor on the basis of class, wealth, social standing. He does not respect kings and princes and presidents and world leaders more than painters at the Rock Island Arsenal or cleaners out of the sludge pit or garbage collectors or laborers that are everywhere. And he does not value pastors or great communicators above us sitting here in these pews. God doesn't show favoritism. He does not give special treatment to one group of people over another. His love is available to all who have that faith in Jesus Christ and have accepted him as their Lord and Savior, and that's it, period, amen. In fact, many passages of Scripture indicate that God loves to lift up the lowly and the humble, doesn't he? While at the same time, often, bringing down proud and arrogant. 2 Samuel 22. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the self-important to bring them low. Okay, go back again to where you were thinking about your angel. Got it again? Got it? All right. What did your angel smell like? Haven't thought about that for a while, have we? Huh. What do you think? Would angels smell like clean sheets fresh out of the dryer? Or like peppermint lifesavers or wedding cake frostings or would it be a smell? Don't think I can get this or identify with it, but would it be a smell of such purity it would hurt the nose of someone who spent their day with a sheep? Angel smell, sheep smell, Hurt? Okay, hang on. We'll get back to that. But for right now, let's think about the angel who said, "Don't be afraid." Don't be afraid, that angel. Okay, now hold a second. How did you think that that angel was chosen for this job? This special, probably angel, appeared to Mary and tells her, "Don't be afraid." And after that angel had spoken, would it be reasonable to think that Mary at first was saying, "Yeah, really, don't be afraid, I can't even, don't be, are you kidding me? I'm petrified, I can't move, how can I not be afraid?" And then, do you think that a very, very sudden sense of calmness came over Mary? Maybe instantly? And Mary answers in Luke 1:38, "I am the Lord's servant." Now let's think about Matthew 1:20, another angel, or could it have been the same one? Probably not. Who knows? Don't know. An angel had already had a visit with Joseph in a dream, and he gets up, Joseph gets up and does what God called him to do, right? In a dream, Joseph. Angel talking to him. He says, "I wonder if Joseph was very afraid in his dream." Maybe. Probably. He heard and he did what he was told to do. Okay, we started out with shepherds. Let's go back there again. The shepherds were probably, or some of them, young boys or girls, probably. Don't know for sure, but I'm guessing maybe 12, 17, 18, I don't know. That's the way I see it, so if I'm right or wrong, I don't know. Talk to me later. These shepherds didn't have visitors. Well, this angel showed up. Shepherds sitting out the pasture, and an angel shows up. And these guys, the girls, they were scared out of their wits. Now listen, the King James Gospel in Luke 2:9 says, "The shepherds were sore afraid." S-O-R-E, afraid. Sore afraid. Now, there's a Greek meaning for this. It's not absolutely perfect, but it's very, 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 very close. "We're sore afraid" means to be so afraid it hurts. How do we relate to being so afraid that it hurts? Do you think that "sore afraid" could have meant to be filled with terror and awe? Often in the scriptures we are told to approach God with fear and trembling. Do you think God wants us to be terrified? Probably not quite the right word, but what do you think? Should we be sore afraid, or afraid that it hurts? Or when we approach God, should we be in awe? When we encounter God, or when God calls us and we have that intense experience of being in His presence, we're in awe. I think I'm a little afraid. And you know, it's impossible to explain this, but like the shepherd said, nothing can ever be the same again. The shepherds in Luke 2 had that angel right there with them, and they were never the same again. But do you think that their shepherding job was made any easier after that? Different, Probably. Probably different. Easier? No, probably not. No, probably not. Travis, the shepherd, he does something interesting here. You remember the grocery list? It's nearly thrown away. Did you notice that the list is turned over, looked at, and then stuck back in his pocket? I think that these angels put aside their to-do list of all they were expected to do, and this one angel, don't name him, but I call him Steve just because I want to. They're sitting around, and Steve said, "Let's go to Bethlehem. What are we doing here? Let's get going. Drop everything. Who took care of the sheep? I better check my phone. I better check my calendar." That's us. How many times we have an opportunity and we think about, get our phone out and some other time. Another interesting time that the shepherd says, "No one ever chooses me." Remember this? In Romans 9, 14 through 16, and this is the one we're going to talk about in life class, Sunday school someday, because this is really great communication. And I want you guys to answer it for me. Romans 9, 14 through 16. "Are we saying then that God was unfair? Of course not. For God said to Moses, 'I will show mercy to anyone I choose. I will show compassion to anyone I choose.' So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can't choose it, and we can't work for it." And remember that this was when God chose Jacob, the youngest, over Esau. But in actuality, God is referring to the nations of Israel and Edom rather than to individuals. But I would love to talk about this in life class. We'll do it. We'll do that some Sunday. God chooses who God wants to choose. And this is good news to all of us, everybody. Does this mean that we all have the opportunity to be chosen? Oh, yes, it certainly does. If we chose to accept Him, we are among the chosen. This good news is meant for all of us, including that person in the SUV who is just a little bit late picking up the kids from school, who cuts you off of traffic, the young man in the drive-thru who can't quite get the hang of the phrase, "No pickles," or "Hot fries without salt, please," or to politicians, or the teacher in school who didn't believe in you, or that person that at work lied about you, who hurt you intentionally, to a friend who betrayed you, to someone who said, "I'm not coming back home again," to that friend, that best friend, that started that horrible gossip full of lies about you at school. And couldn't we add to that? And then the shepherd, he mentioned choosing sides. How do you all feel when these words are brought up? Let me ask you a question. When you were involved in choosing sides for whatever reason, when the captain that picked first didn't pick you, and the captain that picked second didn't pick you, and the captain or the person that picked third or fourth, maybe you weren't chosen at all, didn't get picked. How did you feel? It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts a lot to not be chosen. It makes us very sad. Could almost bring tears to our eyes, doesn't it? But guess what? You have been chosen. We have been chosen. As Christians, we have been chosen. Listen again to this news. We've heard it once. Listen again. Luke 2, paraphrased. And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. They were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great army of heavenly angels appeared, singing praises to God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to all those pleasing Him. Glory to God in the highest." When the angels went away from them and back into heaven, the shepherds said, "Let's go. Let's go find them. Let's go see who this is. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which we have been told." I read that many people in America are familiar with this passage, even though they may not very seldom have ever cracked open a Bible. These verses from Luke have been very popular and became popular through Linus' famous speech in the Charlie Brown Crispy. I was going to do that, but I thought, hey, that's an assignment. Go home and look at it. Linus. It's really. And they say that it became famous because of that. Doesn't God work in ways that we don't understand? That's a good thing. I read that every December since 1965, in between schemes of the Grinch and George Bailey being saved by Clarence the Angel as he's about ready to jump off the bridge, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer running around the North Pole with his nose blinking, we have Linus. Linus, who discovers the true meaning of Christmas in the Gospel of St. Luke. Yep, find Linus and listen to Luke 2. Finally, let's look again at who God picks to announce the birth of His Son. Who does He invite to come and see the new baby? There they are again, a ragtag bunch of sheep herders. There is only one announcement of Christ's birth recorded in the Scriptures. Only one invitation from God to anyone to come visit Mary and Joseph and the infant baby Jesus. And that one invitation goes to a bunch of uneducated, smelly, low-class, social and religious outcasts, the shepherds. And to us, yeah. The angel said, "I bring you good news to all people, for unto you this day a Savior is born." Your Savior is born. Now, I smile when I hear the Bible being quoted on television these days, and Samaritan's Purse being promoted, and Franklin Graham asking for everybody that's watching, to accept the Lord, and a James Dobson app being offered at no charge to anyone who wants to download it. Those things on TV, instead of trials and subpoenas and... yeah. I'd much rather turn on a TV right now and see Charlie Brown or the Grinch than much of our news. Just the way it is. But I do have a concern. With all the annual repetition, do we get too familiar with this good old news? Remember, we cannot ever overlook just how amazing this event is. Because it's not just a story of God's love for some shepherds, is it? It's a story about God's love for us. And if we consider this story very carefully, we'll see that it has a message of love and hope for everyone. So remember this Christmas season. Actually, let's remember it all year. This marvelous good news that was given to you, and to you, and to you, and to you, and to us, and to me. That good news that the angel brought. And the angel said, to these shepherds and to us, I bring you good news for all people, all people. For unto you this day a Savior is born. Our Savior is born. Your Savior is born. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our hearts again. First, Lord, don't let this story get old to us, please. Refresh it in our minds and keep it in our hearts. Allow us to clearly hear the message from that angel again, again. I bring you great life-changing news. The news of the birth of your Son to all of us, born a baby and born to die. That awful, awful, wonderful, awful cross. Lord, come into our hearts and open them to the true knowledge of you, Lord. You chose us. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, help us to choose you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.